I said, as far as anyone knows, Brian Lippy just took off for greener pastures. Might even be the truth. None of us can say different for certain. And it's an ill wind that doesn't blow somebody some good. Him disappearing that way might have saved his girlfriend's life.
I doubt it, Huddy rumbled. I bet her next one was just Brian Lippy with different colored hair.
They pick up guys who beat them until they go through the change. It's like they define themselves through the bruises on their faces and arms.
She never filed a missing persons on him, tell you that, Shirley said. Not one that came across my desk anyway, and I see the town and county reports as well as our own. No one in his family did either. I don't know what happened to her, but he was an authentic case of good riddance to bad rubbish.
You don't believe he just slipped out through that broken window and ran away, do you? Ned asked Huddy. I mean, you were there.
No, Huddy said. As a matter of fact, I don't. But what I think doesn't matter.
The point's the same as the one Sarge has been trying to drum into your thick head all night long. We don't know.
It was as if the kid didn't hear him. He turned back to me.
What about my dad, Sandy? When it came to Brian Lippy, what did he believe?
He and Tony believed that Brian wound up in the same place as Ennis Rafferty and Jimmy the Gerbil. As for the corpse of the thing that they killed that day...
Son of a bitch rotted quick, Shirley said in a brisk, that-ends-it voice.
There are pictures, and you can look at them all you want, but for the most part they're photos of something that could be anything, including a complete hoax. They don't show you how it looked when it was trying to get away from Mr. D., how fast it moved, or how loud it shrieked.
They don't show you anything, really. Nor can we tell you so you'll understand. That's all over your face.
Do you know why the past is past, darling?
Ned shook his head.
Because it doesn't work.
She looked into her pack of cigarettes, and whatever she saw there must have satisfied her because she nodded, put them into her purse, and stood up.
I'm going home. I have two cats that should have been fed 3 hours ago.
That was Shirley, all right. Shirley, the all-American girlie, Kurt used to call her when he felt like getting under her skin a bit. No husband. There'd been one once when she was barely out of high school. No kids, two cats, roughly 10,000 beanie babies. Like me, she was married to Troop D. A walking cliché, in other words. And if you didn't like it, you could stick it.
Churl?
She turned to the plaintive sound in Ned's voice.
What, hon? Did you like my father?
She put her hands on his shoulders, bent down, and planted a kiss on Ned's forehead.
Loved him, kid.
And I love you. We've told you all we can, and it wasn't easy. I hope it helps. She paused. I hope it's enough.
I hope so, too, he said.
Shirley tightened her grip on his shoulders for a moment, giving him a squeeze. Then she let go and stood up.
Hudson Royer, would you see a lady to her car?
My pleasure, he said and took her arm.
See you tomorrow, Sandy. You still on days?
Bright and early, I said. We'll do it all again.
You better go home and get some sleep, then.
I will.
He and Shirley left. Ned and I sat on the bench and watched them go. We raised our hands as they drove past in their cars. Huddy's big old New Yorker, Shirley in her little Subaru with a bumper sticker reading, "My karma ran over my dogma." When their taillights had disappeared around the corner of the barracks, I took out my cigarettes and had my own peek into the pack. One left. I'd smoke it and then quit. I've been telling myself this charming fable for at least 10 years.